Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom. One more time. And like I said, what a blessing. Four double Sabbaths in 2 weeks. You wouldn't think it can get any better than that, huh? But really, what a really, really blessing that everything has been. And, you know, the more I meditate on what's been happening in our little neck of the woods, you know, this little congregation that Yahweh has brought up worldwide, and what we're doing, and particularly with community living and how people are living together and how well everything's going. And like I said, we're going on our 6th year now. So we'll see if there's any prophetic thing in that, that after this, next year will be our 7th year in this. And then the year after that is coming will be the Jubilee. But I'm just in awe of how the Ruach, the Holy Spirit, has been working within our congregation. It's absolutely amazing. And I want to talk about that today. I want to talk about the power of the Ruach in the body of Messiah. And I say, you know, when you're looking at some of the things we were learning this feast about artificial intelligence, right? And they want to connect you directly to the internet so that you can have a thought, you know, and you don't have to ask Alexa or whatever the lady's name is on there and this kind of thing. And I say, you know, we really don't need artificial intelligence because we have the gift of Yahweh. You know, we have the Ruach. And we're going to see today the Ruach is much, much better than a piece of metal that, you know, can never do with Yahweh's gift of his Ruach HaKodesh can do. And Satan is the great counterfeiter. We know that. He counterfeits everything. But Satan cannot produce a blade of grass. He can only counterfeit something that Yahweh does. So I believe that this whole movement now with transhumanism and artificial intelligence is really there to try to counterfeit the gift of Yahweh. But when you have the gift, you know, you don't need, you know, a brain tattoo or anything like that. So I want to start in John 14:12, because it's really an amazing scripture, right? So when we look at Yeshua, he's speaking here, and what does he say? Yeshua healed the sick, he raised the dead, he walked on water, he cast out demons, he was translated from one place to another, he commanded the weather, he multiplied food, right? He did all these miracles. And then he says in John 14:12, indeed I tell you truly, the one believing into me, the works which I do, that one will do also, and greater than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Wow. You know, I almost got to catch my breath, right? I mean, you look at everything he did, and he said, not only will we be doing that, we'll be doing greater than that. And you think, how on earth can we be doing it? And I actually think for the longest time, mainly in Christianity, right, that the reason why people have not seen the real power of the Holy Spirit in miracles and different works is because people are not believing. We know that's the core. It's the core of coming to faith, right? It's the core of repentance. As a matter of fact, in Acts 2, you must believe, you must repent and believe in order to receive the Holy Spirit. So if someone does not believe with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, they're not going to receive the Holy Spirit. And I believe that's one of the reasons why people have not seen these works in their time. I think also because people have not been broken enough, they haven't been, as a people, we haven't been humble enough to see it. But it's amazing because sometimes when I'm out somewhere, you know, it could be in an airplane, it could be anywhere, you just meet people that are Christian and they'll say the same thing. Why? I hear this a lot from America, from Christian people, not from our congregation, but from Christian people in America and even other groups. When I meet with, you know, other, you know, Sabbath groups or whatever, they always say, you know, why don't we see the miracles today that we saw in the Bible? And some even come up with their own theory. They try to say, well, those miracles were for that time, for this reason, or whatever. And I try to tell them, every single miracle you've seen in the Bible, I've seen in modern times, including raising the dead in Israel, more than once. We know of stories of people literally that were pronounced dead, put in a box, their death certificate signed, they were prayed over, and they came back to life. So I've seen it, I witnessed it, I personally have laid hands on people that were miraculously healed. So there's no doubt in my mind that these things are happening. But now, just in the last year, like I said, in our little neck of the woods, our tiny little congregation that is not very big when you look at it. We are worldwide. We're basically, you know, in every continent except Antarctica, you know, and we are scattered. We do have little strength. We're not a powerful congregation, but in our congregation, we are seeing some miracles that you would only see in Scripture. You know, things like I said, people that were completely blind from birth that were prayed over and were healed, people that were deaf. I don't know if I could say I know for sure it was 100% from birth, but deaf people that cannot hear prayed over. A boy, 6 years old, totally crippled, prayed over, got healing. I know, like I said, when I was in Ethiopia on the last trip, there was at least 25, maybe up to 35 healings in one prayer. There was, I don't know, 70, 80 people that were being prayed for. And when I got a report later, women that were barren, that never could bear children, that immediately got pregnant. All kinds of things, you know, that you can't believe. I prayed for a man one time. He had stomach cancer. His stomach was completely taken out. And as I was praying over him, you could hear. That man went back to the doctor 2 days later, and he had a new stomach. The cancer was completely gone. The new stomach was there. Yahweh's the miracle worker, you know, and we have to believe it. Like I said, when you look at some of these stories in the Bible, they're almost so fantastic that they almost, if you didn't have faith, you couldn't believe. You know, like Balaam and the donkey. You know, is it just a story, you know, like you're hearing from a tour guide? Or is it true? But we know from Yahweh's word that it is true. But we have to believe it. You have to be convicted. And if you're not convicted in your life, if you're not convicted that Yahweh is strong enough and big enough to pay your rent or to get you through a certain trial you're going through or a health trial, then you're certainly not going to believe that he can do a miracle in your life. And then actually, if you really think about it, every single one of us is a miracle. Every one of us. We're a miracle being born. I think every baby that is born is a miracle of life. But then the fact that each of us, if we really think in our life, where we were and where we came from and how we're here today, every one of us has a miracle. And that's what, you know what that miracle is called? Your testimony. You know, that how you got here today, how you have the Spirit of Yahweh, how you're going where you're going is an absolute miracle. And this is our testimony, and this is the thing that comes out to the world. But I want to get into today the power of the rock in the body of Messiah, because it's something that is not only a blessing, a miracle, exciting. It's something we need to understand now, because as we're going on with the underground congregation, we're going to need this. We're really going to need this, and we're going to see it. Like I said, it blows artificial intelligence out the window. You don't need that. What you need is the Ruach. You need the power of Yahweh's Spirit. Galatians, before I go there, let me go to Joel 2. Joel 2, we're going to see this. Joel 2 and verse 23. And you know, a sermon like this is always exciting to understand something so powerful as Yahweh's Spirit. It's almost like teaching a child about electricity for the first time and how it works and the power of it. But it's powerful now because now it is being poured out on us. We're living in the second Shavuot since 2015. And every year it's being magnified. And here we are. And you know, people could say whatever. I don't know when I announced this in 2015, if everyone really believed it, that it's happening. Even myself, I was wondering, is it only me? And as I'm getting all these reports from elders and congregations, they're all saying, no, we feel the same thing. We're seeing this. But in the last year, as the miracles now are coming, there's no doubt that Yahweh is pouring his Spirit out on his people. And it's not just the miracle. I say a miracle is the outward extension of your faith. So the fact that miracles are happening in our congregation are showing we're growing in faith. We're growing in faith, or those miracles would not be happening the way that they're happening. So praise Yahweh for that. But what does he say in Joel 2 and verse 23? Then be glad, sons of Zion, and rejoice in Yahweh your Elohim. For he has given to you the early rain according to righteousness, And he will cause the rain to come down for you, the early rain and the latter rain in the first month. And like I said, to understand the scripture, you have to understand the growing season, biblically speaking, right? Because what happens? Now Sukkot is ended, and now we're getting ready. The harvest came. You brought all your harvest fruit up, right, to the feast, and you're enjoying it, and you were blessed because you were faithful, and you tithed, and you did all that. You were obedient to Yahweh. So he blessed us with all these great things. And we're eating pomegranates and dates and wheat and olives and all the great things, right, from the harvest. And now, after this time, now we got to go back, and it's time to plant again. Now it's time to plant, right? So it's a new season coming. And that's why Sukkot is where it's at. Because now you've got all of this information. Now I'm giving you all these seeds, these new seeds. And they're heirloom seeds. They're the special seeds. You've got to bring them back in your pocket. You know, they're not the genetically modified seeds. We only have heirloom seeds here. So now you take them back and you have to go. And now you've got to, you can't do it on fallow ground, right? I gave a message on that not too long ago. You have to make sure that your ground is plowed and your ground, you know, and it should be. Because you came here ready. So the ground is already plowed. You're already ready for it. And now you've got all these new seeds in your hands. And now you're going to go back and you're going to put them out there and you're going to send them to the four winds. And the word of Yahweh will not come back void. We're going to see where they come from, right? So then what happens though? Because the rainy season's coming now. It's just going to start. In Israel, we haven't had rain for 8 months now. And now the rain will start. It might be end of October. It might be the beginning of November. It might even go all the way until December. You don't know. And that's what you got to pray about. Because once you put those seeds in the ground, if you don't get water on those seeds, the birds are going to come and take them. Just like the parable of the sower and the seed, right? And it won't be there anymore. So you have to pray for that early rain. That's the early rain. The early rain is what gives it root. The early rain is what gets it started. And then the regular rain comes. End of December, January, February, you'll get the rain. That's no problem. But that only brings it to a certain point. It doesn't give you fruit. Now when March rolls around, March, beginning of April, you've got to get the latter rain. Because if you don't get the latter rain, that plant will never come to fruition. Right? So we're like those plants. We've come into the truth, right? We started off. Hopefully we got a good foundation when we started. And then as we're in the truth, we're going to get that rain. We're going to get it. But it only brings you to a certain point. And now if you want to come to fruition, to be a first fruit of Yahweh and a first fruit at the resurrection, to shed these bodies and meet him in the air and reign for him 1,000 years, what has to happen? You got to get the latter rain. Because the latter rain is what's going to bring that kernel. It's going to bring that grain to fruition. And here we are. Yahweh is pouring it on us. He's pouring it on us. Now we got to drink it in and we got to let it grow. We got to come to fruition. We got to let that spirit change our life. And you know the only thing that stops it sometimes? Monsanto. Right? Monsanto. Pesticide. The pesticide of Babylon. When I say Babylon, I mean the world system. The global world system, we have that pesticide in our system. And it's going to kill that fruit. And the latter rain is not going to be able to help you if you have Monsanto in your body. So you've got to get rid of all of that old pesticide and all of that junk so that now when that latter rain comes, you could come to fruition and you are going to have fruit to bear for Yahweh. And that's what he called us to. And that's what the power of his Holy Spirit is doing. And look what he says here now. And the floors will be full with grain and the wine vats will overflow with wine and oil, right? The grain, the oil, and the wine, the fullness of Yahweh's blessing in our life. And I will restore to you the years which the swarming locust has eaten, the locust larva, the stripping locust, the cutting locust, my great army which I sent to you. Yahweh's restoring it, okay? So we're looking ahead. We don't want to know about tomorrow. We don't want to know what your father did to you when you were 9 years old. We don't want to know about your teacher in high school. We don't want to know about, you know, the first husband from 33 years ago. All that stuff is behind us here. We're moving forward now. We're moving into the latter rain. We want to grow because whatever you lost, Yahweh's going to restore. He's a great, that's what it's about. You know, that's why I say, when I talked about years ago curses, generational curses, it doesn't matter what you think was lost before, what Yahweh can restore is 100-fold. Look at the book of Job, right? Job lost a lot, but Yahweh brought it back to him, magnifold, 5-fold, 10-fold, 20-fold. It's just a matter of how much you're going to soak in that letter rain, how much you're going to allow it to change your life. And here we are. It's never going to be more powerful than now, is what the Bible says. It's always been powerful, right? But it's like an electric storm, a lightning storm. And wow, you see that lightning hit and you're like scared. The power of Yahweh. And now Yahweh is pouring out that lightning like you've never seen in your life. And you shall eat fully and be satisfied. And you will praise the name of Yahweh your Elohim, who has dealt wonderfully with you. And my people shall not be ashamed forever. And you will know that I am in the midst of Israel, and I am Yahweh your Elohim, and there is no other. And my people shall not be ashamed forever. And it will be afterwards I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Here we are. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. And we're actually having this happen. We're having some elders and brethren that seem to have this gift, that Yahweh is giving them dreams and visions. And it's amazing they're being confirmed. So we're living in this time now. We're seeing it in the congregation. And we're seeing Yahweh pour this out. And how does he manifest it? Galatians 5:22. How will that be manifested? Is it that we're going to bark like a dog and roll on the ground? You know, like the Pentecostals? Is that Yahweh's spirit being manifested? No. That's demonic spirit. That's a demonic spirit. And unfortunately, people get hoodwinked into believing that stuff because they're looking for lying signs and wonders. They're not looking for truth. They're not looking for the power of the Holy Spirit. But here's the power of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no instruction. There's no instruction against any of these. Right? So anybody can fall on the ground and bark like a dog. That doesn't prove anything, right? Because Yahweh gave us dominion over the animal kingdom. We have dominion over them. We don't act like them because we have dominion over them. So Yahweh's spirit would never lower us to act like an animal or anything else. No, the spirit of Yahweh transcends what human nature can't. And I say to people, you know, there was a time where I was speaking about these things for many, many months years ago when we were still in Babylon. And one of the brethren said to me, oh, come on, Don, I want to get some meat. When are we going to get past here and get on some meat? And I said, I'll tell you when. When we show love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, mercy, meekness, and self-control, then we'll move on. I said, show me a congregation in the world who's doing these 9 things. And you won't find them. You won't find them because you don't see it anywhere. And here in our congregation now, it's just starting to work. It's molding, it's blending. And like I said, you know, when you look, especially living together, people living together with human nature, with all the different things we're dealing with, it's not an easy thing. And I'm not talking about living near each other. I'm talking about living in the same property, living in the same community. And yet we started this 6 years ago. The project started with 2 communities. Within 2 years, we're up to 5 and 2 more years now. 16 going up to 20 to 25, depending on how quick we can build these. Everybody wants them. Every single place in the world. And again, I did not promote or encourage even one. I didn't. Everyone is contacting me saying, we want to do this. We want to be like that. We want to have a community. We want to live together. And the fruits of the Spirit are coming, and it can only come by Yahweh's ruach, by Yahweh's Spirit being poured out, and us surrendering to it. So now each of us have that choice. Do we want to be part of this great end time thing that Yahweh is doing, this miracle where he is transforming corrupted human nature into his very child? Or do we want to continue in the system of Babylon? You know, because it's so diametrically opposite each other, and both are right here. And Yeshua clearly said, my kingdom is not of this world. So I'm not going to talk today about all the things with Satan's system and all the things with social media and all that stuff. We all heard it. We all know it. But this is what we have to choose from this point. Are we walking forward in the kingdom of Yahweh in these 9 fruits of the Spirit and allowing his Spirit to just transcend us? Or are we staying in the global system that Satan has here? And it's a choice each of us has to make from this point. But the fact that now we have a prototype, now we see it in our very own congregation, we see it working, And we see people loving each other, and we see something that is transcending anything normal that we've ever seen in our life. So I don't know about you, but it gets me excited. Because you know what? Because I'm not there yet. And it shows me that, wow, I can get there. If others are doing it, then I can do it. I have to mirror and match them. I got to be more like them. I got to surrender more of myself. But I can get there also. 2 Peter 1. And I want to show you, because the Apostle Peter, he kind of gives us, I was telling you when we were doing our seminar, you know, that it's like making a goal, it's like making a recipe, right? You have a thing and you pour in, you have a, you know, 2 cups of water, 1 cup of flour, you know, a little bit, a quarter cup of cinnamon and all this stuff, right? And then it comes out and it's something hopefully that is edible. So 2 Peter, he's giving us a recipe how to be the complete believer. He gives us a really good recipe. It's an awesome recipe. It's very detailed. So if you follow this, he's going to tell us what's going to happen on the good side. And he'll also warn us just in case we don't follow. So 2 Peter 1 says, Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Yeshua Messiah, to those equally precious with us, having obtained faith in the righteousness of our Elohim and Savior, Yeshua Messiah. So this is going out to the saints, the fellow believers, and grace to you and peace be multiplied by a full knowledge of Yahweh and of Yeshua our Master, who has given us all things that pertain to the power of Elohim for the life and worship of Elohim through the full knowledge of the one calling us through glory and virtue. So now he's going to give us this recipe, which is going to get us into the complete believer. First, he's calling us through glory and virtue, by which means he has given to us a very great and precious promises, so that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature. What's the divine nature? The divine nature is his spirit. It's his ruach. That's the divine nature, through his gift of grace. The divine nature escaping from the corruption which is in the world by lust. That's why I said you got to make a choice now. Do you want the system of Satan? Do you want the system of Yahweh? But also in this very thing, okay, because that's only one ingredient now. And also in this very thing, having brought in all diligence, having fully supplied in your faith virtue, and with virtue knowledge. So now we're adding in some more things into our jambruta, you know, our supir, you know, that we're adding. And with knowledge, self-control, and with self-control, patience, and with patience, holiness, right? He's not telling us a cup of this or a cup of that, so we're just going to pour it as much as we can get into that pot. And with holiness, brotherly kindness, and with brotherly kindness, love. And we see a lot of this is coming from the 9 fruits of the Spirit. For these things being in you and abounding, they will make you never useless or unfruitful in the full knowledge of our Master Yeshua Messiah. All right, so we have to fill ourselves with these things. For the one in whom these things are not present, though, is blind, being short-sighted, and forgetting that he was cleansed of his sins in times past. And I think that people that fall away, this is what happens. They get so hooked up on the world, and then the cares of the world come, and they lose one of these one by one. Before they know it, they don't have anything. And like he says here, they become blind and short-sighted, forgetting that they were cleansed of their sins. Therefore, brothers, rather be diligent to make your calling and election sure. For doing these things, you will never fail. So we have a clear-cut recipe for success. For so will be richly furnished you the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Master and Savior Yeshua Messiah. You want a recipe to the kingdom? There it is. It's right there. Everything we need. Everything we need is right there. And it's all by the power of the Ruach. Romans 6, because we see that maybe to some degree, you know, I say, you know, like our calling is like archaeology. We work in layers. And when you're first called, you understand to a degree. But like I said, you're 5 years after you're called, you're going to understand repentance more than you do when you're called. In 10 years, you're going to understand more than when you were called. And I give the example with holiness, you know, what we think is holy. I remember when I first became a believer, and I'm looking because my life is coming from the world, and I'm seeing these believers I'm with. And to me, just the fact that they were wearing modest clothes to me was holiness. And the fact that they were meeting on Saturday was holiness. And that's a part of it. But then, like I said, years later, Yahweh told me, don't just ask what is holy, ask what is sin. You know, don't just ask what is holy, but what is sin. And then I started to see sports, competition, you know, all these things, they're not of Yahweh. Yahweh's way is cooperation, it's love, it's helping each other, it's working together. So Romans 6, this is pretty much telling us, this is how we have to do it. What then shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? So, right, does the power of Yahweh's Spirit, does this gift of forgiveness, does it allow us to just continue? No, because there's no power in that. And that's why Satan wants Christianity to believe the Torah is nailed to the cross, because he knows they'll be powerless. They're absolutely powerless. And that's why they come in on emotion, they do all these singing and dancing, they fall on the ground, they bark out like a dog, but then all of a sudden they see there's no change in their life and things actually get worse. And that's why the suicide rate of Christians in the world is much higher than with other non-Christians is, because they get depressed, because they see it doesn't bring lasting change. What the Apostle Peter said, when I'm reading the nine fruits of the Spirit, this is what brings lasting change. Not just an emotionalism, a fake emotionalism, right? So he says, do we continue in sin that grace abound? Let it not be. We who have died to sin, how shall we live in it? Or are you ignorant that all who were baptized into Yeshua Messiah were baptized into his death, right? We're baptized into his death. We're dying to the old person. We're going in that spiritual water of baptism. It's a spiritual, it's a spiritual death. And then we're coming up into a new life. Therefore, we're buried with him through baptism into death, that as Messiah was raised also from the dead by the glory of the Father, so also we should walk in newness of life. Right? It's not just about changing cosmetic things. Those have to start. You got to start somewhere. And like I said, Yahweh comes to us where we are, right? So he starts us with these little things. He starts us with changing our food and changing our dress and maybe changing some habits. But then it's got to go much deeper in that, just like archaeology. We got to go to the core of our being now. And we have to understand we have to change who we are. We have to change our very nature. For if we have been planted together with him in the likeness of his death, so also shall we be in the resurrection. For we know this, that our old self was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed so that we no longer serve sin. For he who is dead has been freed from sin. So that's the key here. This is what the Holy Spirit is freeing us from. It's freeing us from sin, from our old way of life. From addiction, you know, from the things that were enslaving us. Like the Bible says, whatever it is you don't overcome is the thing that's going to overcome you. But we have something that can overcome that. We have something in us. We have the very Spirit of Yahweh, which is eternal. And that's why when you die, the Spirit goes back to him. Where else can it go? There's only one Spirit, and the Spirit is eternal. It's got to go back to him. And then the flesh waits in the grave until the resurrection. And Yahweh willing, if we've been accounted worthy of resurrection, then he gives you his Spirit back and you become an eternal spirit being at that point. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 9. Because let's start understanding how this great power of Yahweh's Spirit can transform our life right now today. 1 Corinthians 15, 9, he says, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, for I am the least of the apostles, who am not even worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the congregation of Yahweh. But by the grace of Yahweh, the gift of Yahweh, I am what I am. And his grace, which was toward me, has not been without fruit, but I labored more abundantly than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of Yahweh that is within me. So it is his Spirit and the great gift he gives us by that Spirit that should be motivating us to go out and produce fruit. Because that's the whole purpose he's giving us that. That's the end result of it. Remember, whatever you do, think with the end in mind. The end in mind is bearing fruit. It's taking this gift that Yahweh has given us and bearing fruit for it. Like I said, they're heirloom seeds. They're seeds that are the best in the world he's giving us. We just have to produce the fruit with them. Let's go to Colossians 2. Because, you know, we're living in a time now where nobody knows what's going to happen from here. We don't know what's going to happen with COVID. We don't know what's going to happen with travel. We don't know what's going to happen with vaccine mandates. We don't know what's going to happen with many, many things. Lockdowns, you know, we still have many of our brethren that are completely in lockdown. And yet, because, like I said, we're a tiny congregation, because we're scattered throughout the world, you know, and we have brethren that have nobody. You know, we have brethren that are there all alone, all over the world. We have brethren that are scattered like this and they're by themselves. But Yahweh's gift transcends that. The gift that Yahweh's given us, His Spirit, is more powerful than distance. It's more powerful than time. It's more powerful than anything in the flesh, because His gift is not flesh, it's Spirit, and it transcends anything in the flesh. And let's take an example of this. Colossians 2 and verse 1. He says, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have concerning you and those in Laodicea, and as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." So here's the situation. I'm sure he's not dealing with COVID, but he's dealing with a situation where he hasn't been able to get to these people, right? And they're needing him for teaching and for different things, and he's not able to get there. But look what he says to them. He says that their hearts may be comforted, being joined together in love, right? One of the fruits of the Spirit. "And to all riches of the full assurance of the understanding, to the full knowledge of the mystery of Elohim." It's a good study to do. Look, all the time it talks about the mystery of Elohim. Because whenever you see that term, mystery of Elohim, something big is coming. Because that means something we know that they don't know. You know, something Yahweh's given to us, it hasn't given it to the world. So he's talking now that even though they couldn't see him, even though they're waiting for him, that they're still going to get the full assurance of the understanding, to the full knowledge of the mystery of Elohim, even of the Father and the Messiah, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Right? Isn't it amazing sometimes when you do a study, or maybe you listen to a study, like something like The Purpose of Man, that is so profound, and Yahweh really shows these things here that we never saw before. And you might mention it to someone else or show them something, they're like, "I don't understand it. I don't see it." Right? Because it's the power of Yahweh, it's the Ruach, that opens our mind to these gems and to understand these truths. "So in Him are hidden all the treasures and wisdom and knowledge. And I say this that no one may beguile you with persuasive words." Right? So it's not about coming up here and I'm going to tell you today 14 ways that the Bible talks about water. 14 ways in Hebrew. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm going to talk real quick. And at the end of it, I'm going to give you one more chance. $49.99. Right to this offer and you're going to get... It's like, nah. We're above that. We're above that. Maybe you could have got me 35 years ago with that kind of spiel, but not now. Not now. Right? Because I say that no one may beguile you with persuasive words. Our words are coming from Scripture. They're not coming from fast-talking salesmen that are selling the word of Yahweh, right? And I get it all the time because of our ministry. People, you know, I get messages, emails, everything, every day of the week. And people that may have come to the website and they like the messages and they're enjoying it, and they'll say, what about so-and-so or this person? Did you ever listen buy this guy's DVDs? And it's like, no, I haven't. No, I don't need his DVDs for $49.99. You know, but these are people that some of them honestly looking for truth, but sometimes they're looking for truth in all the wrong places. So praise Yahweh, they come across ours, and you hope that they see that there's a difference there, that there's something different there, because this is being led by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not a work of man. It's not about money. We have nothing to sell. What we're here to show you is power of the Holy Spirit, and that's our proof that Yahweh is working with our congregation. And then in verse 5 he says, "For though I am indeed absent in the flesh, I am with you in spirit." That's a powerful scripture. "Although I am absent in the flesh, I am with you in spirit, rejoicing and seeing your order and the firmness of your faith in Messiah." Do we realize how powerful that is? The same way I say, and I've given a message right on prayer a couple of days ago. Right? I hope you benefited from that. But that's one aspect of prayer with the Father, right? But the same way is there's one Spirit. There's one Spirit. And this is what people don't understand, because how they can't understand, they think Yahweh is a Trinity. And they don't even know what Trinity means. They don't even know. If you try to talk to someone, you're trying to find out, well, is it three or is it one? They can't tell you, 1 minute they're saying 3, 1 minute they're saying 1, because they don't know. And at the end of it, they usually say, well, it's a mystery, I don't know. But we know what it is, right? The same way as Yeshua and Yahweh are two distinct, separate beings, each having their own will. And that's what Yeshua said, the Father is greater than I, right? They're not the same being. He can't be greater than himself. He said that as of that day and hour, no one knows, not even me, the Son, only the Father knows. It says there's a throne in heaven where the Father sits, and there's 12 to 14 references that there's a throne next to it where the Son is sitting right now. They're two distinct beings, yet there is only one Spirit. They have the same mind. They have the same thought process. They have the same goal. That all Yahweh has to do is start thinking about something, Yeshua's already out doing it. And that's the way the world was created. The Father gave the command, and the Son went out and accomplished it. And we have that same ability today. So if I get an email from you, and you have some trouble somewhere, and I get on my hands and knees, and I start praying, I can be there with you. And I said this many times, I'm telling you, recently it's happening more. As I pray for someone for an ailment, I temporarily get that ailment. You know, I really pray I don't have to pray for someone with COVID, because I don't want to go through that. But it's happening more and more. It used to happen every now and then. But now that the healings are getting more magnified, I'm getting it more when I get something. You know, it wasn't that long ago. I prayed for somebody with a really bad leg, and all of a sudden I couldn't walk on my left leg for about a day and a half. And then it comes in and it goes out. But we have that ability to physically and mentally take on each other's trials. So no one is alone anymore. It doesn't matter if there's one person writing me from the top of a mountain in Antarctica. He's not alone, because each of us in our prayer closet can intercede for each other. And you feel it. You feel it. You know it. You know when someone is praying for you. And I've had this happen. I'm praying and the Father starts saying, pray for this person. Just pray for this person. Then you have contact with that person. You find out. Sometimes they'll even say, were you praying for me? And I'm like, yeah, well, I was having this thing and I was asking and I felt it. The Apostle Paul, like I said, had never been there before. And yet through the Ruach, the one Ruach that's in my mind, your mind, all of ours, the same mind. We can literally be there lifting each other up. And that is powerful. That is powerful. You know, because just like John 17, you and me and I and you and us and them, it doesn't matter where we are anymore. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. I tell this to prisoners, you know, because we have hundreds and hundreds of prisoners now writing. We have full congregations in prison. And I say, your flesh is in the prison. Don't worry, that's going to rot anyway. We all want to get rid of that flesh. But they can't put your mind in prison. You can't put the Ruach of Yahweh in prison. You can't. And that was frustrating in ancient times. That's what the Roman Empire couldn't stand. That's what the torture is. Even today with Richard Wurmbrand, right? They couldn't stand that. That no matter how much they beat and beat and beat, they couldn't get their mind. And that's what the communists want. They want your mind. And that's why they want to put a little tattoo in your mind. Because they want to control it. And they want to give you every worldly reason for it. But it will never work with the people of Yahweh. And that's why I say, how do you know a true brother from a false brother? The false brother is the one who's not following the leadership. It's that simple. Yeshua said very clearly in John 10, my sheep know my voice. They will never follow a stranger, never. So when you see people out on that fence and following all of this stuff, people that don't believe in the name of Yahweh, people who don't keep the Torah, people who don't keep the Sabbath. And I know he doesn't do all that, but there's no but. There's no but. You know what? I got a direct line to Yahweh. You do too. His Ruach is directly telling me. I don't need anybody else that is selling his word. I don't need anybody else that's calling him God. I don't need all these things. I'm not judging them. And I know Yahweh's working with people, even people that don't know the name. I know he's working with many, many people throughout the world. But that's not where I'm looking for my direction in the days we're going in. We have a direct counsel through the Holy Spirit. We have direct counsel to Yahweh's throne. And are we taking advantage of that? Not only for yourself, but for each other. You know, that's why we have the prayer list on the website. You know, that we can see those things. And that we can pray for each other. We can lift each other up. And believe me when I say it makes a major, major difference. So this is what he's saying there. And then in verse 6, therefore, just as you accepted Messiah Yeshua, our master, so you must be led by him. being rooted and being built up in him and being confirmed in the faith, even as you were taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Abounding in it with thanksgiving. Got to give all the praise and the glory back to the one who gave it to us. So like I said, through the gift of Yah, even though we're not present physically, we could be there to intercede for any brother and sister anywhere in the world. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3. He says, blessed be the Elohim and Father of our Master Yeshua Messiah, the Father of compassions and Elohim of all comfort. Right? Doesn't matter what you're going through, you know? There's a time to mourn, there's a time to laugh, but even when you're mourning, even when you're the most down, he's the Elohim of all comfort. And he uses us to help bring that comfort. The one comforting us on all our affliction, for us to be able to comfort those in every affliction, right? Why do you go through trials? Why are you suffering sometimes? Why are you going through a sickness? Why did you maybe have something terrible happen in your life so that you could help somebody else who's going through the same trial? And sometimes he didn't give you that trial because you're weak. Sometimes he gave it to you because you're strong. Because not everybody could, it says Yahweh will never give us more than what we can bear. And for some people, they couldn't bear the trial that you're going through. So he gave it to you because other people are going to go through the same thing and they're going to need encouragement. Some of them are going to be brand new. And like I said, you know, when the kingdom comes and later on and maybe a million years from now, whatever Yahweh has doing, and we're going somewhere wherever he has us at that time in this vast universe he has, you might be going to somebody who's going through a really, really difficult problem in Yahweh's second or third phase of what he's doing. And they might say, well, what do you know? You're a son of Elohim. You're a spirit being. You couldn't know how I feel. And you can say, oh yeah, I do. There was a time where I was in the flesh. There was a time where I went through this. And Yahweh puts us through this, not to torture us. He does it as a blessing so that we can go and bless others. But we got to get our mind off ourselves. We can't have a pity party. We can't sit there, you know, woe is me. You got to realize there's a reason for this. And the reason is so that I can overcome, so I can help others overcome. Because we're all in it together. There's one body, there's one faith, one baptism, one Elohim. So he says, the one comforting us in all our affliction, for us to be able to comfort those in every affliction, through the comfort by which we ourselves are comforted by Elohim. Because even as the sufferings of Messiah abound in us, so also our comfort abounds through Messiah. But if we are troubled, it is for your comfort and salvation, being worked out in the endurance of the same sufferings which we also suffer, right? If we are comforted, it is for your comfort and your salvation. And our hope for you is certain, knowing that even as you are sharers of the sufferings, so also you're partakers of the comfort. Right? We all share together. If we suffer with him together, we'll be glorified with him. And we're going through these things now because we need, there's somebody else out there who needs that same comforting that we're having. So we can literally intercede to take away people's pain and suffering of one another, physically and spiritually. Sometimes it's just having an ear there for somebody who's going through a tough time. And you're there to say, hey, don't worry, you know, I'm with you. I'm praying for you. I'm helping you. I'm there for you. Drop down to verse 8. He says, for brothers, we do not want you to know. We do want you. For brothers, we do want you to know, as to our affliction having happened to us in Asia, that we were exceedingly oppressed. Now listen, this is the Apostle Paul saying that. We were exceedingly oppressed beyond our strength, so as for us even to be despaired of our lives. The Apostle Paul and the people with him, that's how despaired they were, that they literally almost didn't want to live anymore. He says, and we decided to die, not trusting in ourselves, but on Yahweh, the one raising the dead, who rescued us from so great a peril of death and does rescue, and whom we have hope that he will still deliver us. You also laboring together for us in prayer that the gracious gift by many persons be the cause of thanksgiving through many of us. Do you really grasp what he's saying? He's saying that they were so discouraged, they went through so much that they're ready to say, Yahweh, just take our life, we don't even want to live. But by the prayers of the brethren praying for them, that they overcame it and they felt it. Wow, that's powerful. And like I said, that's the Apostle Paul saying this. That literally by you laboring together for us in prayer, that the gracious gift, the gift of the rock, you know, Yahweh's gift to us, through many persons be the cause of the thanksgiving through many of us. So let's not neglect that. That's powerful. That's powerful. I hear people say sometimes, you know, like I've met with people, you see people and they say, oh, I'm sorry I couldn't help you more. I'm only praying for you. And I'm like, that's about the best you can do. You know, I mean, you're happy if somebody, if you're hurt or something, somebody can give you some, but prayer, that's the best thing you could do. That's where the answers come from. And that's the thing that makes us one. That's the thing, because there's only one line to the Father and there's only one Spirit. And that's the line that he's given to us. Praise Yahweh for that. Galatians 6. Because you know what? And it's always been this way. You know, life sometimes is more than we can bear. But in the times we're living in today, it's really, really heavy. And we are, you know, there's only so much we can do for each other, as we're going to see here. So each of us does have to bear our daily load, right? You know, we don't want to have pity parties and we don't want to always be on these pity parties. But at the same rate, when we're past what we can bear, we want to be helping each other. And that's what he says here in Galatians 6. Brothers, if any man among you goes before you in error, you who are in the Spirit, right, the rock, restore him by the spirit of gentleness, and beware lest temptation also come upon you. And you carry the excess load of one another, and thus complete yourself in the instruction of Messiah. Right? Because there's a point where sometimes we're just an overload. And that's where one of the brothers or sisters can step in, and they can help us to bear that. He says, for if anyone thinks to be something, he deceives himself being nothing. So we don't want to think that we never got to that point. We all get to that point. We all need each other. That's what we said, right? We're totally 100% dependent on Yahweh, but we're interdependent on each other. Because there'll be no synergy if we're not interdependent on each other. He says, but let each one examine his own work, and then let him glory to himself and not among others. For each one will bear his own normal daily load. But let the one being taught in the word share with the one teaching in all things, right? So each, we all have to bear our daily load. You know, he who doesn't work doesn't eat. So we all have to go out. We have to bear our daily load. But when we're above that, you know, and I look at the Amish as a great example of this, you know, because they're all doing their own work. And, you know, an Amish guy, he's working 12 hours a day and milking cows and doing all this other stuff. He doesn't have time to be going and doing the neighbor's work. But if that guy's barn burns down, you better believe they're all coming there and they're building a new barn. And that's what we have to think. You know, there's times we're all responsible for our own daily load, but there's times we get above that. There's times somebody gets sick. There's times somebody's barn will burn down. There's times that things happen. And that's where we need to be there for each other. In prayer, in edification, you know, in lifting each other up. And it's powerful because we're living in the time as we see. You know, if you never understood that scripture, because iniquity abounds, the love of many will wax cold. Think of it today. It's one of the reasons I think they have us wearing masks. Because it's conditioning us to draw cold, to draw away from people. Don't touch. You might be sick. And we do have to be cautious. I'm not taking away from that. I'm not taking away from, you know, even there's a time to wear a mask outside. I'm talking about the what it does mentally to us when we're afraid of even the people of our household. We're afraid of our family, our friends, our brethren. The love of many will wax cold. This is where we're living, and we don't want that to happen. You know, because like I said, there's a spiritual element that nothing can transcend it. There's nothing that Satan can do. There's no virus he could bring. There's no earthquake that can have. Nothing that can transcend the power of Yahweh, the Holy Spirit that he gives us in our life. So again, we each have to carry our daily load, but we have to be there to intercede when somebody has problems and it goes above that. We have to know the difference too of when to intercede with a brother or sister and when not to. And I'm not talking about people that are going through trials. I'm talking about people that maybe are falling away. You know, because people that fall away, we pray for them. But if we go to 1 John 5, because remember, the Corinthian congregation, in Corinthians 5, I'm not going to go there, but they literally had a man in their congregation who was committing fornication with his stepmother. And they thought they were spiritual because they were putting up with it. Oh, we love them so much, you know. So it's not being spiritual to put up with sin. You know what that will do? That will cut the Holy Spirit like nothing you ever knew if you have sin in your midst. Like Achan. Remember Achan in the book of Joshua? The cursed thing that he had, right? They weren't supposed to take the idols and he put it in. And it affected everybody in the camp. And it wound up having his whole family killed for it. So we want to see here. What I'm talking about is for the brethren. What I'm talking about is for real distress we're having in our life. You know, and when we falter. But I'm not talking about someone who is openly sinning or going against Yahweh. Because in that case, you just have to leave it in the hands of Yahweh. So when we look here, 1 John 5 and verse 14. He says, this is the confidence we have toward him, Yeshua, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know, and we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked. That's powerful. Can you imagine? It's powerful to think the eternal creator of the universe that has no beginning and no end, that's been here forever, that he hears us, right? He's hearing our prayers. He's hearing what we're doing. And he's listening to that. He says, but if anyone sees his brother sinning a sin not unto death, right? He's going through a hard time, maybe suffering, maybe even doing something he shouldn't. But it's not a willful sinning. He shall ask, meaning pray for him. And he shall give life to him, to the one sinning, not sinning unto death. There is a sin unto death, and I say that you should not ask about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. So what's he talking about? He's talking about willful sinning compared to somebody who struggled and was in a time of weakness. You know, so we have to know the difference in our life too. Where a brother might be going through something really, really hard, and maybe even he faltered and sinned, but he's trying to repent, compared to somebody who just doesn't care anymore. He's just going the wrong way, he doesn't care anymore, and he's actually blasphemed. You know, the spirit of Yahweh, by living in sin, living in willful sin. And that's something that you have to discard. You have to just let them go at that point. So let's look at another story of the power of the rock here in Acts 12. It's one of my favorite stories here because it's a really, really powerful story with all details. You know, I like when there's little details there that you really don't need to know, but they're just there. It just kind of makes the story more authentic and understanding it more. But in Acts, the 12th chapter, I'm going to start in verse 1. It says, at that time, Herod the king put forth his hand to oppress some of those in the congregation. And with a sword, he did away with Jacob, the brother of John. So we have several Jacobs, as we know. You know, the head of the congregation was Yeshua's half-brother, Jacob. That's a different Jacob. This is Jacob, the brother of John, the apostle. And Herod comes and kills him. And seeing that it was pleasing to the Jews, he, Herod, added to seize Simon Peter. And they were the days of unleavened bread. Whom also capturing him, he put him into the prison, delivering him to 4 sets of soldiers to guard him, intending to bring him to the people after Passover. Can you imagine? He takes him, he puts him in the prison, 4 sets of soldiers. You know, just one set, 4, is they say that one set of 4 Roman soldiers can hold off about, I forget what it was, but almost like 1,000 men. And he puts with Peter 4 sets of these because he's not letting this guy get away, right? So how would you feel if you're Peter? You're done for it. He just killed the one guy. He sees that they're happy with it and is getting ready for him. But Yahweh's got another plan, right? Yahweh's got his rock. He's got something bigger than Herod. Then Peter was indeed kept in the prison, but fervent prayer was made by the congregation to Yahweh on his behalf. Who knows? Who knows if it wasn't for that fervent prayer, if Peter would have never gotten out of that prison. Fervent prayer by the congregation. And toward the dawn in that very night, he was preparing to deliver him. as Simon was bound by two chains, sleeping among two soldiers, and others were guarding the gate of the prison. You would think that this is Osama bin Laden or something they got in there, right? And now let's see what happens. And behold, a cherub of Yahweh stood above him, and a light shone in the building, right? Here it comes, the cherubs there, the light shines. And striking Peter's side, he raised him up, saying, "Rise up quickly," and the chains fell off his hands. And the cherub said, "Gird yourself and bind on your sandals," and he did so. And he said to him, "Throw around your garment and follow me." And going out, he followed him. And he did not know that this was happening through the cherub was real, but he thought he was having some kind of vision. And going through a first and second guard, they came to the iron gate leading into the city, which opened to them of itself, right? Is there any door that Yahweh can't open? You know, think of that in your life. The next time you have a trial in your life and you're thinking that that door is so closed, Yahweh can never handle it. And here it is. All that cherub has to do is basically say, "Boo." And there it is, that gate just opens up of itself. And going out, they went on to one street, and instantly the cherub departed from his presence. And having come, Peter said within himself, "Now I know truly that Yahweh has sent his cherub and plucked me out of Herod's hand, and from the thing which the Jews planned against me." And considering, he came to the house of Miriam, the mother of John, the one being surnamed Mark. This possibly could even be the room at the supper where they are now, where many were gathered together and praying. They're praying again, right? And Simon was knocking at the door of the porch, and a servant girl named Rhoda came near to listen. And recognizing Simon's voice, from joy she did not open the porch, but running in, she reported Simon was standing at the porch. So she's so excited and happy, she didn't even open the door. But they said to her, "You're very confused." But she insisted, holding it to be so. And they said, "Perhaps it's his messenger, you know, perhaps it's just his angel that's there." But Peter kept on knocking at the door, and opening, they saw him and were amazed. And signaling to them with the hand to be silent, he told them how Yahweh brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Report these things to Jacob and to the brothers." And going out, he went to another place. Wow. What a powerful story, huh? What a powerful story. It's just amazing. We had a story something like this, not with a cherub, but around Passover time, where one of our congregations in Africa was completely locked down. And as people were coming, he was trying to get to the congregation to keep the Passover. And basically, people from Seventh-day Adventists that kept the Passover the night before, everyone got arrested and put in prison. Our brethren who kept it on the right night, for whatever reason, the guard just didn't see them go, and not one person got arrested. So, you know, it shows you not only timing, like we said, but it's similar to what happened here. You see that Yahweh's spirit leading and guiding, right? Intervention by cherubs. And like I said, we're living in that time. Don't get worried. We're in the book of Revelation. There's more about cherubs and cherubs doing things in our time now than in any other time you could look in the Bible. Because Satan is literally going to be here. His system's already here. He will literally be in this, you know, person who's going to be running this global government. So Yahweh also has to counteract that with his cherubs. And we will see more cherub intervention within the next few years than we've seen since the Garden of Eden. So we got to be ready for it. We also see, I'm not going to go there in Acts 8, but when Philip is translated, we see the same thing, right? He's over there. He's baptizing the righteous person that he's baptizing on the road to Gaza. And then what happens when it's over? A cherub comes and translates him. So sometimes we're worried, and we do have to think about it. We do have to plan, you know, with vaccines and all this other stuff coming, that we may be stuck where we are. But if Yahweh wants to get us somewhere, he can get us out of there real easily, right? You know, I mean, we see all over the place in the Bible people being translated. Eliyahu was translated from one place to another by chariot of fire. You know, boy, talk about a royal limousine coming. You know, can you imagine there? You're somewhere and all the borders are closed and you can't get out to an airport, you know, because you don't have a vaccine. Next thing you know, you walk out your door and there's a chariot of fire there. Maybe to take you to Jordan. Who knows? You know, or wherever Yahweh has his people at that time. But there's no reason to doubt. There's no reason to doubt. Even whether that's part of nature can be controlled by Yahweh. We see this in Luke 8 in verse 22. Luke 8 in verse 22. And it happened on one of the days that he and his disciples entered into a boat, and he said to them, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." And they put out to sea. And as they sailed, he fell asleep, and a storm of wind came onto the lake, and they were being filled and were in danger. And coming up, they awakened him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And being aroused, he rebuked the wind and the roughness of the water, and they ceased, and there was calm. And on the Sea of Galilee, I've said this before, those waves can get up to 20, 25 feet on the Sea of Galilee. Even recently, we've seen that in a storm not that long ago. And he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And being afraid, they marveled, saying to one another, "Who then is this that he commands even the wind and the water?" And they obey him, right? But that's the Ruach, that's the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you a story from several years back when I was in Colorado at a meeting over there. And I was with two brethren, and we were going down to New Mexico. We had a new congregation down there that we had started, and we were going, and a big snowstorm was coming. They were predicting a major one. It was like 2 feet. And we were in a car that was an old Nissan. It must have been 20 years old with bald tires. And we had to go over a mountain to get from Colorado to New Mexico. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that mountain, but there's no guardrail. And it's like, you go around there, it's kind of scary. So it started snowing. There must have been maybe an inch of snow. And I just said, there ain't no way we're going to make this. And I prayed to Yahweh, and I literally prayed, "Father, please stop the snow." Within seconds of that prayer, I mean a big snowstorm, a really, really big one, a massive one, the snow just stopped. Now, it's a long ride down there. I forget how many hours, 10 or 12 hours. As we were going, every single time we either stopped at a rest stop to get water or something or stop for gas, they'd say, "Yeah, you're not going to believe it. It was supposed to be a big snowstorm, and it just stopped." I said, "Oh, yeah, we believe it. We believe it. We prayed for it. We believe it." So Yahweh can do anything through his Spirit, but you got to believe it. You got to believe it, and then you have to act with conviction. Mark 6 and verse 4 says, "And Yeshua said to him, 'There is no prophet who is dishonored except in his own city and with his own kinmen and his own house. And he could do no work of power there except he performed healing on a few infirm ones, laying on his hands.' And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went around the villages in a circuit teaching." So we see that the way that Yahweh's Spirit works is through our hands. You know, through our hands. And I said this before, there'll be times where I'll feel this like burning in my hands, and I just know that someone's going to be healed, that there's something, you know, someone's coming up, and you could feel it. But this is what Yahweh does. He gives us power in our hands. And that's why the laying on a hand ceremony is so sacred. Because literally, the same way that the priest would be laying the hands on the animal, because it's a transferring. It's a transferring. In the priest's case, you're transferring sin from the people to the animal. You know, in the elder's case, he's transferring power. And that's when someone's baptized. You're laying hands on them because you're transferring power to that person. You know, and when you're healing them, there's a power of the Holy Spirit that's being transferred. It's almost like a spiritual flu shot, you know. You're literally getting a shot of the Holy Spirit. You're getting a power of the Holy Spirit that comes there. Acts 28 in verse 7 through 9. It says, "And there were lands in that quarter belonging to a man called Publius, who was the chief man of the island, and he was cheerfully received us at his house 3 days. And it happened, the father of Publius was lying down, suffering from fevers and dysentery, to whom Paul entered in praying, laying on his hands, cured him. Then, this taking place, the ones in the island have infirmities also came up, and they were healed. They were healed because there's a power that Yahweh gives us through that spirit. So like I said, we can pray for that spirit, especially if we're not with somebody. But also, you know, through the elders, it's a power that he gives through the laying on of hands. Jacob 5 and verse 13, it says, does anyone suffer ill among you? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him praise in song. Is any among you sick? Let him call the elders of the congregation. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of our master. And the prayer of faith will heal those being sick, and our master will raise him up. And if he may have committed sins, it will be forgiven them. So this is why, you know, don't feel embarrassed or shy, or you don't want to bother if somebody is sick. That's what the elder is there for. And like I said, in the third world, they're not shy about it. You know, it's like out of the blue, you know, you got a little time to pray for it. Oh, of course. And then all of a sudden there's 100 people around the corner. And I don't mind. I'll stay there till 3 a.m. I don't mind, because I know that Yahweh is doing something. I know that it's his power, and I know these people need it. They need the healing. And now we're living in a time where we're seeing that manifestation like we've never had before. So we have to look to that. When we're sick, do we go to the elders? You know, do we ask for prayer? And even, like I said, I am with you in spirit, I'm absent and present. So people will write me, right? And I might not be there to lay hands on, but I could still pray for you. You know, I could pray. In the Bible, we had the cloths. You know, Paul sent an anointing cloth. But I believe we don't even need the anointing cloth today, because the anointing cloth was there because they're going by letter and they don't know, you know. So he's sending this cloth to show them that he prayed for them. Today, if somebody contacts you or they send you an email, you know, you could just pray for them, because it's much quicker than sending a cloth. You could pray for them immediately. And we've seen it, you know, because the Spirit of Yahweh transcends time. It transcends space. It doesn't make a difference. But it's powerful, but it's judicial order. I used to think about that. Why on earth would Yahweh have the elder? You know, there could be 50 people in the congregation, no elder. So why would he say that? It's simply just judicial order. It's not that the elder has any more power than anybody else, because we could all pray for each other. We just don't have the ability of doing the laying on of hands. That's something that's set apart through judicial order, you know, through the elder. But we could all pray for each other. And I always said that, you know, when people ask, they say, about who would you want praying for you? And I say, you know what I want praying for me? The person who has the gift of healing. And I've seen a lot of widows that have this gift. They pray 3-4 hours a day. And there's a lot of them I've went to and said, pray for me. There's people when I travel that pray for me around the clock. And that's the one. I want the person praying for me that has the faith that I'll be healed. That's the one I want to go to. So we go to the elders for the judicial order, but we go to each other. You go to the one that you know has faith. Because that's what Yahweh will do, the miracles that he'll do. John 4 and verse 5. Because the gift of Yahweh even transcends the flesh. The gift of Yahweh transcends the flesh. John 4 and verse 5. And this is when Yeshua is with the Samaritan woman, right? And he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near a piece of land Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And there was a spring of water that belonged to Jacob. And Yeshua was tired from the fatigue of the journey, right? So he was human. He got tired. He got sick. And he sat on the well, and it was the sixth hour. A woman came out of Samaria to draw water. Yeshua said to her, give me some water to drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city that they might buy provisions. Then the Samaritan woman said to him, how do you, being a Jew, ask to drink from me, I being a Samaritan woman? For Jews did not have social dealings with Samaritans. Yeshua answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of Yahweh, right? The gift of Yahweh, the power of his spirit, right? If you knew the gift of Yahweh, and who is the one saying to you, give me to drink? You would have asked him, and he would give you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. From where then do you have living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well? and he and his sons and his sheep drank out of it? Yeshua answered and said to him, everyone drinking of this water will thirst again. But everyone who drinks from the water I give to you will not thirst forever. But those waters that I give to him will become in him a spring of water that will spring up to life that is eternal. Right? That's the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. It's signified as water flowing, right? Yeshua said there's living waters in him and he's giving them out to us. And if we have that living water, if we have that spiritual food that's lifting us up, because later in the chapter there, what happens? They come to him. And he's one, they want to feed him. And he says, I don't need food. I have food. And they said, who gave him food? He said, my food is to do the will of Yahweh and finish his work. So now this isn't somebody who's just saying a phrase. This is somebody who fasted 40 days and 40 nights without food or water. Right? And Moses did the same. So you can't just say, well, Yeshua did it. You know, he was Elohim. But Moses did it too, twice. Fasted 40 days and 40 nights without any food or water. And I believe the times are coming and now are here that we will have to do, maybe not 40 days, maybe more, I don't know. But we will go through times where we won't have food and water, and it will not affect us if we have the Holy Spirit going through us. We already know it. We already have the example here. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word out of the mouth of Yahweh. That's what's got to be our food. That's what's got to be our mentality, right? I can imagine that. That we could be somewhere with no food whatsoever, and it won't make a difference. We don't get hungry, we don't get thirsty, right? The Israelites, who were physical people, needed physical manna that Yahweh gave them. But we have spiritual manna. We have the gift. We have Yahweh's spirit. And that will get us through whatever we need. And who knows how long Yahweh will have it. Who knows? Could be 40 days, could be 400 days, for all we know. But one thing is certain, if you believe, it will come to be. If you believe, it will come to be. That through the gift of Yahweh, you can go supernaturally extended periods of time without food. So the responsibility of the gift, as we're starting to end up here, the responsibility of Yahweh's gift is you have to produce with it. That's Yahweh's economy, like we said. Nothing is given to you to hold for yourself. And that's why everything that we receive, that we increase, we tithe back 10% to Yahweh. And it's the same with his gift. John 15, we have to produce fruit by this gift for others. We have to use it in the congregation. We have to lift each other up. We got to pray for each other. We have to help each other. That's the reason for it. John 15 says, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me not bearing fruit, he takes it away. And each one bearing fruit, he prunes so it may bear more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word which I've spoken to you. Remain in me and I in you, as the branch is not able to bear fruit of itself unless it remain in the vine, right? Stay in the camp. There's safety in the camp. Neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, this man will produce plentiful fruit, because without me you are not able to do anything. Unless one remains in me, he is cast out as the branch and dried up, and they gather and throw him into the fire and they're burned. If you remain in me and my word remain in you, whatever you desire, you will ask, and it will happen to you, just like we said, through the Holy Spirit. And this my Father has glorified, that you should bear much fruit, and you will be disciples of me. So that's what we're commanded to do. This great, marvelous, unbelievable gift of Yahweh that, like I said, transcends everything human, transcends artificial intelligence, transcends nuclear power. It's the very thing that makes Yahweh eternal. And it's dwelling inside of each of us. And that's why we need to pull on that resource when we need it. And the greatest time when you need it is the greatest time when your flesh is fighting against you. You know? Whether it be like Yeshua, you're tired after a long journey, or you're having things you're going through. But I think sometimes we forget that Yahweh and Yeshua themselves are living in us. They're living in us by that one spirit. And we've got to pull on that power for ourselves and for each other. Philippians 2 and verse 1. He says, so then if there is any comfort in Messiah, any consolation of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any mercies and compassions, complete my joy by being in one accord, one love, one soul, one mind. Right? The Ruach. The power of the Ruach in the body of Messiah. Doing nothing according to strife or self-glory, but in humility, let each regard his neighbor as better than himself. Let no one be mindful of only his own things, but let each one also be mindful of the things of his neighbor. This is what it's about. And like I said, it's not possible from a human perspective. It's only possible by the power of Yahweh's gift, his Holy Spirit, his very essence, his very mind, the very thing that makes him eternal, that makes him have no beginning and no end, that he's chosen to put inside of us, that we can be part of that. John 14 and verse 15. Go back to John 14. John 14 and verse 15. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments, right? So we know one of the requirements to receiving this wonderful gift of Yahweh's power through his Spirit is obedience and faith, those two things. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will petition the Father, and he will give you another one, which will end the curse, that he may remain with you forever, right? So the Holy Spirit ended the curse we talked about of the consequence of the fall of man. No longer do we have to now bear and gather our fruit in thorns and thistles. You don't have to do it anymore. Yeshua took that curse away. So now our work can be multiplied a thousandfold. Right? That's why I say we have to be interdependent on each other, because the synergy of each other, 1 plus 1 equals 3, 6, 16, 600, 6,000, 6 million. It's endless. It's endless. So we have to make sure here that we're understanding that, right? That the curse has been ended. No longer do we have to bear our fruit in thorns and thistles. That curse has ended, and now we could get fruit that's unmeasured. That he may remain with you forever. Talking about the rock. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see it nor know it, right? They have no idea what I'm talking about. Like Corinthians says, this is foolishness to the world. What on earth is this guy talking about? He's raving. No. The Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it doesn't know it, see it or know it. But you know it, for it dwells with you. And at that point he says it shall be in you, but now it is in you. It dwells with you and is in you. I will not leave you orphans. I am coming to you. Yet a little while and the world no longer sees me. But you see me because I live. You also shall live. In that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Drop down to verse 26. But the Redeemer, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, whom my Father will send in my name, will teach you everything, and it will remind you of everything that I've said to you. Praise Yahweh. Wow, what a gift. What an amazing gift, right? Couldn't think in a million years to have a better gift than what Yahweh is giving us. And like I said, Satan is trying to counterfeit this gift with artificial intelligence, with his demonic, but it won't work. It won't work, and it's not needed. We have the gift of Yahweh's Spirit to give us the mind of Messiah, to fill us with all nine fruits of the Spirit, to guide us in miracles, to help to encourage and lift each other up in love. And even when you're not physically there, spiritually you can be there because there's one mind. You know? That's what they're trying to do with artificial intelligence. But we can do it with each other. You can be in the mind of somebody and help to lift them up. It is our power over Satan's end time beast. So we have nothing to fear with the things of Satan, and we have so much to be powerful for. And this isn't new. This is something that Yahweh's had for 2,000 years, but now we're living in the days of the latter rain. Now we're living in the days where Yahweh is pouring it out more. Now we're living in the days that Yahweh is magnifying that Spirit in our hearts and minds and souls. And even though there's just little time left, there's a big work to do. There's a big work to do. So I hope you are excited as I am. I hope this message excites you, because this is powerful, right? No matter where you are, Satan can chain your body, but he can't chain the gift of Yahweh. He can't chain the Ruach HaKodesh. He can't chain the mind of Messiah. So it's been a great time. It's been a blessing to be together. I pray that you'll take these words to the four corners of the earth, share them with every creature, and let's bear fruit for Yahweh's kingdom. Yahweh bless. Shabbat Shalom.